Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Sweet memory.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh,
what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning, everyone, and greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we ask the Holy Spirit to come forward to speak for us, Heavenly Father, so that we can grow stronger in knowledge and in wisdom, the knowledge of your word, Father, and the wisdom to use it, and to help to build our faith stronger with each and every time that we get into this, your word. Now, Father, be with us throughout the rest of this day. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be here in Leviticus 4, where we're going to be starting. And we'll see where the good Lord takes us to. As we go through the Bible, I'm sorry, that's not where we're going to be today. We're going to be, actually, in Luke. Today's Wednesday. We'll be in the four Gospels. Today, tomorrow, and Friday. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 7. You know, as we're going through the Bible, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday and letting him know what we were doing. And he really thought it was a great idea. And all. And I told him, I said, well, some parts of it I know gets kind of boring to those listening. We need to know it all. And we need to hear everything. And that's why we're taking and we're going through the Old Testament on Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we're in the four Gospels. Saturday and Sunday, we're in the New Testament. from Acts on back. Now, a lot of people has got the wrong idea about what is the New Testament, where it really begins. You see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not the New Testaments. That's the four Gospels. That is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was still here on this earth. And he was getting the people of that day ready for what was about to happen, which was his death and his resurrection and the setting up of the church age and the fulfilling of the law and moving mankind under grace. Actually, the New Testament didn't start until after his death and his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and it really started on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given back to mankind. And we have an awful lot of people, even in the church, that don't know this and that has been taught different. I know in my early years, going to Sunday school and all, I was taught that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was New Testament. But until I met the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what I believed. But when I met him, and the Holy Spirit then later came into my life letting me know how to rightly divide the word of truth, I found things a lot different. It shouldn't be that way, but that's the way things have gotten. All right. Here in Luke chapter 7, beginning here with verse 1, we're going to see Jesus at work. It says here in verse 1, says, now when he had ended all of his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. Verse 2, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. Now that's being quite sick when you're right there at death's door. Verse 3. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Now, they went to Jesus and asked him about this, and they've told him that this one is worthy. Verse 5, for he loveth our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. He built him that synagogue. Verse 6, then Jesus went with him, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Now this is really humbling yourself. This man, he's telling him, you needn't even come in my house because I'm not worthy of you being under my roof. Now, verse 7. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. He's got quite a bit of faith, hasn't he? And he is very humble. He didn't even think himself worthy to go to Jesus himself. That's why he sent someone else. And now, his faith is strong enough that he's telling Jesus, just say the word and my servant shall be healed. No doubt, no mites, no maybes. It'll be done. That's great faith. You and I today should have a lot stronger faith even than this man's got. Because what we have that God has gave us, he has gave us the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He's gave us the Holy Spirit to be our guide, our strength, and the power of Almighty God living in us so we can do what he wants of us to do. We have all of that within us. And yet, most walk with such little faith that they really are not doing anything. Think about that. He goes on here in 8. He says, for I also am a man sent under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him. There was others following the Lord Jesus. Now, here's the way Jesus answered him. I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. He had not found such faith as this man had in all of Israel where he had been. Ten, and they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. It's all done. Eleven. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, and he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. 17. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region around about. You see, these gifts of the Spirit will draw people. That's why they were given to the church. And as we are told in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the Lord tells us what he put into the church. And healing and miracles was two of the things that he put there. So what has happened to our denominational churches today that you see no power at all in them? Mostly, what comes out of them are stories. They're pretty stories, but they're stories. They're really not the word of Almighty God. Oh, there'll be a little word mixed in with them, but nothing that is letting mankind know what he needs to be doing, what he should have, what is really his, and how he should be walking. And even working as a group. And God's word tells us all of this as we go through it. All of this is answered for us. It's just not being brought out. Now, here in 19. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? John's in prison, but he's wanting to know for a certainty whether the Lord is Jesus really or not. In 20, when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? They've asked the Lord now this question that John wanted. In 21, and in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight. And then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And you see, that is what should be working today in our churches. Because the Lord lives within his people. And the Holy Spirit lives within his people. That has brought to the children of Almighty God authority and all the power they need to do this work. Because you see, there is still work to be done on this earth today in bringing in the harvest. And we need to be about God's business and not just our own. But so many of us so many of God's people today are not functioning as they should, and most of it is because they have never been taught the truth of God's word and how they should be walking and living themselves. Now, here in 23, and blessed is he, this is still Jesus talking, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. But most want to stand quiet and not really reveal the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory. It's as if they are ashamed of him. And we're warned not to be ashamed of him. Because if we're ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of us. In no way will we make heaven our home that way. Now, 24. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. Jesus now speaking, says, what went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written. He's letting them now know. And they should have already known, because it had been written about him before. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. You hear what he's saying there? Those that are the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. 29. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. Now, they're being baptized with the baptism of John, which means that most is going to have to be rebaptized. Now, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. 31, and the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? Uh-oh. This is Jesus now speaking. 32. They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't pull any punches, and neither should we be. But too many are. All of this weak ministry teaching and not wanting to step on someone's toes will not ever get the job done that should be done. We don't do it to hurt the people. We do it to help them, to let them know how they should be living and how they should be talking, how they should be walking. Now, 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. He went in with this Pharisee to eat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake with him, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. You see, this Pharisee, they were against the Lord Jesus anyway. Now he's telling, if he was what he's saying he is, then he should have known that this woman was a sinner and should not have let her touch him. Now, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simeon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simeon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him begin to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? You see, now they're not wanting to believe really in who he is, and they're asking that question about how can he forgive sins. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. You see, she knew who he was. She honored him. The Pharisee didn't. All right. That brought us to the end of chapter 7. We're going to be going into chapter 8. We may not get all the way through 8, but we'll see where the Lord takes us to. But anyway, we're going to get started in it. Chapter 8. We're still looking at Jesus' ministry. And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. In other words, his disciples were all with him. 2, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. In other words, they were traveling with him to take care of him and using their substance to do so. 4, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. Now here we got a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. 8, others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? You see, the 12 even that's with him, they didn't understand that parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given. Pardon me. It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others in parables, that seeing they might not see. Now think about this. He said they might not see. That seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Now we're talking about his word. And let's see what Jesus is really saying about the word. Now, 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, in other words, they're letting Satan lead them instead of following the word of God. We have a lot of them. Now, 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Listen to this. Because as we go, and if you stop and think, if you are up with our days and times and the word of God, you'll understand. Now, because it's all around us. 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. And we all know about that because it's around us all. We all see it. Now, 15. But then on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. To bring forth good fruit. You don't just go to church, sit on the seat, listen, get up and leave. Think no more about it. You're not sharing the word and the Lord with anyone else. You're doing nothing. You see? That goes back to verse 14. But you see, those of the good ground are the ones that hear it and share it with others, helping others to reach out and to come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And walk in the word, sharing that word with others. Now, 16, we're going to get another parable. No man, when he has lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel or put it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come aboard. 18. Take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever has to him shall be given, and whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Now, 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren and could not come at him from the press. And he was told him by a certain which said, thy mother and thy brother stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. That's what he thinks of us. Those that will accept the word of God and do it. Work in that word. Work within the word. And you see there what the Lord thinks of us. You see, those that will work within the word and live by the word, they are his brothers and his sisters. Now, 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forward. 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? We all will face storms in our life. Because Satan is going to come against us time after time and in many different ways. But where will your faith be? Was it going to be weak like these? You asked them, where's your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and the water, and they obey him. But this gives you an idea of really what he expects of us. Now, 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees wouldn't accept him. But here's one that is filled with the evil spirits, to where he's got no clothes or nothing, and he's living in the tombs. Yet he knew who he was. So you see, these that will come against you, these evil spirits that will come against you and I, they know who we are. And they know the Lord Jesus Christ that's within us. They know the Holy Spirit that's within us. And they know the authority we've been given. Yet they are still trying, because they are still wanting you and I to deny those and accept what they are trying to get you and I to do. Now, ''29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? He's talking to this evil spirit. And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. Pardon that ringing. Now, 34. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. 35. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. You see, they were scared to death of him because of the power that he had. And so are a lot of people today, of those that really and truly are the born-again children of God, that are walking and using the power and the authority given them by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us himself that we will be persecuted. They persecuted him, and that we would be too. So that should not be something that we don't know, because we are told that in God's word. Now, 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thy own house and show how great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And we're going to stop there now. And we, God willing, we will pick up there this evening at 6 p.m. and continue on here in the book of Luke, and see the power of Almighty God and how the Lord Jesus Christ is walking and what he is really wanting of you and I. Now, and we will learn more of how we are able to do things that he asks of us to do, because you see, you can do them, but you've got to have faith, and that faith has to be strong. But there is nothing impossible to those that are born again, children of Almighty God. All right. Let us pray. Father, as we close your word, we thank you for this word. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for these times during the day that we get together in fellowship and in love, not only with each other, but with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and with you, Father. May we ever praise your holy name, giving you thanks for all things that we have and for the help that you give to us by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And we know that all things come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, brought to us by the Holy Spirit. And Father, use us in great and mighty ways. Anoint us with that holy fire of the Holy Spirit, Father, so that we do get the work done that you want us to do. We pray for those that are sick, that they will stand upon your word, upon your promise. Their healing was given to them 2,000 years ago. We know this because, Father, we are told in your word that we are healed by his stripes. The stripes that Jesus bore brought us the healing that we need. But we need the faith to see it work. I pray for their faith to be strengthened, Father, that they can receive that healing. Because that healing, Father, comes from Jesus. Praise his holy name, thanking him for being willing to take all of this upon himself so that we would not have to carry it. Now, Father, keep us in health and keep us safe through the day. And use us to help someone else along the way. Father, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a great day now. And walk with God, and he'll walk with you. Help someone else today. Share the things of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit with them. And be of help in any way that you can to bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with them. Pray for them and pray with them. And remember that we are his children and we are expected to do the word of God. Have a great day now.